Our reading is found in the order of service and it comes from Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and fraud and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion is in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. I'm going back a couple of hundred years now. When I went my first week to secondary school, I got a job with a local grocer delivering messages. The old push bike in the basket in the front. And in those days and in this particular shop, if you wanted anything, it usually had to be weighed out with the scales and the brown paper bags. And I see some folk nodding and some younger people scratching their heads saying, what's he talking about? Anyway, in those days, you had to measure everything out in bags, and there was bins down in the cellar of potatoes and wheat and all sorts of oats and things. And measuring out was one of my jobs when I wasn't delivering messages. But every Saturday, this lady, who was, I always remember her because she was a good tipper. She always used to give me a good tip. Anyway, she would come in, and 200 years ago, £100 was a lot of money. And she used to spend about £100 every Saturday in this shop. And one of the things she always bought, what she did with it all, I can't tell you, but she used to buy a pound of Poona Candy tea. And I had to measure out this Poona Candy tea into a brown paper bag. But I was always supervised in this particular thing that I had to do, because there were two brothers and a sister that ran the shop, that owned the shop. And when it came to the tea, two packets of PG tips suddenly appeared and were thrown into the bag, so that when I measured out the Poona candy tea, there was only really half a pound of pure tea in the bag, and the rest was PG tips. And of course, the grocer would take the bag and shake it and dunt it, mixing the tea up. And of course, PG tips was about the cheapest in those days. Poona candy was about the dearest. And it took my 12-year-old or 11-and-a-half-year-old innocence quite a while to find out what he was actually doing. Later on, when I started working in the police, I was in Queen Street headquarters one night at the public office, and this lady came in quite distressed. She said she'd been raped. But the thing is, she was a lady of the night, and she got a client who'd paid her with photocopied £5 notes. So it wasn't really rape, it was fraud. Business deal that had gone wrong. Recently, relatively recently, Firmin Lurgan, who supplied meat to different companies, it was found that in their meat, it was contaminated by horse meat. So instead of buying a beef burger, you were buying part beef burger and minutely, right enough, partly horse meat. Now, they say that there's nothing wrong in horse meat, that won't harm your health unless the horse is 50 years old and died of some horrible disease, but it won't affect your health. So what they're saying now is, after much inquiry, that it seems to stem from Eastern European countries. It's been so widespread that I took the trouble from the BBC site to show some of the firms that are involved in this fraud that's going on. Mix some of the cheap tea with the expensive tea. You've got the weight okay, but you've saved yourself and some of the Poona candy tea to sell later on to somebody else, or to the same woman next week. And it's the same with your horse meat. Just dilute the pure stuff. I'll leave it here if anybody is scared enough to have a look at it. Dilute your proper meat with some horse meat, and you've gained some money. And if you're doing this over tons and tons and tons of meat that you're distributing, you could be saving yourself quite a fortune, apart from the fact that the people eating it doesn't know where this horse came from. Not to be alarmist. In fact, they've discovered that when you're going to go to your butcher's and buy pure meat tonight, I can see it. Anyway, they've discovered that in curries for some time, this has been a widespread practice of mixing meats in the curries, and this was just found out, or just come to light, from the Food Standards Agency. I went on to the internet and I looked up the current definition of fraud. Changed somewhat. It used to be a crime at common law. Now they've defined it a bit more. And this is what it says for the crime of fraud. Fraud is the use of deception with the intention of obtaining personal gain, avoiding an obligation, or causing loss to another party. Fraud can be used to describe a wide variety of dishonest behavior, such as forgery, false representation, and the concealment of material facts. The fraudulent use of IT resources is included in this definition, where its use is a material factor in carrying out a fraud. It seems nowadays that businesses and people and everybody, but particularly people in higher places, don't consider it one iota, and I'm sure they don't even lose sleep over it. But this psalm that we read, Psalm 10, was written about 3,000 years ago. And we could, if you take the order of service home and reread it, we are speaking about society today. Things haven't changed. The Bible is as true today as it was when each of the books and letters were written. You put money into the bank and you get 0.01%. But the bankers all get their bonuses. And I sometimes put my finger to my mouth and say, who owns the banks? Is it you and me through the government bailing them out? So where's our share? The government reducing all our livelihoods in order to pay off its national debts. Now, I've asked this question and nobody can answer me to my satisfaction. If Britain is in debt, if America is in debt, if most of the European countries are in debt, who are they in debt to? Who do we owe billions of pounds to? Can't be to America because they're in debt. It can't be to Europe because they're in debt. Who are we in debt to? And somebody said the banks. Well, the banks, we can't be in debt to the banks because we've just bought them out and bought them over. So who are we in debt to? Speak to me later if you have an appropriate answer for me, because I would love to know. Supermarkets, profits by the billion, and we're paying for it. Google, Starbucks and others paying very little in tax, but the government are after your money and my money in tax. So we could look at some of these questions and look at the term of fraud and horse meat in society. You're not getting what you're paying for. Businesses can get you to enter into a contract and they can break it at will, but you can't break your end of the contract. And the psalmist here is looking and saying, what's going on, Lord? Why do you stand afar off? Why do you hide in times of trouble? But is the Lord hiding in times of trouble? Do you think the Lord is blind to the things that are going on? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Does the Bible seem to be a book that's out of date? Verse 16 says that the Lord is king forever. The nations have perished out of his land. There's a time coming when God is going to require all our motives, everything that we've thought, everything that we've done, will stand before him. If you're a Christian, our punishment was placed on Christ on the cross. If you're not a Christian and you have rejected Christ, the same as these wicked boast in their heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. If you renounce the Lord, then you face God in judgment. Now, that's what the Bible says. And your can of mincemeat says pure beef from Argentina or wherever. But it contains horse meat. So is the can right? If it's polluted in any way with horse meat and it says this is meat, this is beef from cattle, or this is lamb, and it's contaminated by beef, then the labelling is wrong. So then we have to look at God's word, and if God says that he will not overlook our sin, does he mean it or not? Or is he just trying to scare us? Well, if he said it and doesn't mean it, then there's horse meat somewhere in God's word. But God is not a man that he could lie. If there was any other way of delivering us from our sin, do you think he would have gone through the sight of watching his son crucified at Calvary? If there was any way you could save your son or your daughter from being cruelly tortured, wouldn't you try and find a way? So the cross was the only way to pay for your sacrifice for sin and mine through Jesus Christ. Horses in the Bible are usually used as weapons in warfare, and either attached to chariots or riders with lances and swords. Donkeys in the Bible, kings would ride on donkeys if they were coming in peace. David, Solomon, Jesus himself as he entered into Jerusalem. Lambs, not only were they reared to eat, they were reared for sacrifice. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. John the Baptist declared it the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It was proclaimed just after Pentecost by the church as a lamb before its shearer is silent. And 1 Peter 1:19 describes Jesus as the lamb without spot or blemish, the lamb that was sacrificed at Calvary. Is the Bible true or not? Is there horse meat in there somewhere? Does God lie? I think not. When God speaks, he speaks the truth. In Galatians chapter 1, it says, the writer Paul says, anyone who preaches any other gospel than the gospel I have preached, let him be accursed. He doesn't say it once. In the next verse, he says it again. He repeats it. If anyone preaches any other gospel than the one he preaches, the one that's in the Bible, let him be accursed. Is there horse meat in there, or does God mean it? So with people preaching that, I was a good person, he'll go to heaven, God can't condemn them, they were good, they did good works, they gave to charities. It's not what the Bible says about our salvation. Oh, but he was an elder in the kirk, or she was an elder in the kirk, they'll be all right. It's not what the Bible says. Anyone who acknowledges Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, who repents of their sins, will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And you have to sort out in your own mind today whether God's a liar or not. Many of us here have settled that question and said that God is true. Let every man be a liar. Let's bow our heads in prayer.